Right now, this is Fred Schneider, and you're listening to CITR. Shut up and listen to this radio station.
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, the Laugh Tracks show, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM. And it is the annual CITR show swap going on. So this is not Cliff Nesteroff's voice. This is the voice of Luke Meat here, normally the host of A Noise. And I'm going to try and fill Cliff's more than hilarious shoes. And coming up in the next hour, a mixture of stand-up, wacky tunes, and whatever jumps out at the shelf on me. We're going to start off with a comedian that Cliff introduced me to, actually. He's known as a regular on Old School Mr. Show, contemporaries of David Cross and Bob Odenkirk, and a damn funny guy. This is Paul F. Tompkins.
Not long ago, I was in a novelty store because I am a fan of hilarity. And I noticed they're still making the gag peanut brittle. You know, it's like, looks like a can of peanut brittle. And then you open it up and then snakes fly out. Ah! What a great prank! I think the best time to get someone with this gag was the 1800s, you know, like before entertainment was invented. When people just sat around and stared at an open fire. What I noticed was they have updated the packaging on the can to make it look more modern, because that was the problem. But some enterprising head of a novelty company called his top man in. Gentlemen, this is unacceptable. No one would be fooled by this outdated-looking can of peanut brittle. I want 5 modern fonts on my desk by 5 o'clock. 5 by 5. Yes, I know it's a Saturday. But they did it. They got that shit done. Because now, if you were to come up to me and say, hey, Paul, would you care for some canned peanut brittle? I would, of course, say, oh, canned peanut brittle, the most common snack in all the world. I'd love some. I think I like it so much because I'm just so used to eating it. You know, just peanut brittle out of the can. I mean, you should see my home. You can barely open the door because of all the empty peanut brittle cans lying all over the place. Here's my routine. Every week, when I go to the market, I head straight to the brittle aisle, look to see they have peanut. Do they have a case in cans? They do. Perfect. Load up my car, and then I just start popping those cans open and eating the brittle inside. Love canned peanut brittle. Love it. I love it because you can get it anywhere. You just see it all over the place. You can buy it at the gas station. You can buy it at a greeting card shop. You can buy it by the side of the highway. There's just peanut brittle in cans all over the place. So yes, when you say to me, Paul, would you like some canned peanut brittle? I have no reason to be suspicious. Whoa, why did I just say that? I owe you an apology. Here you are, nice enough to offer me some canned peanut brittle, a snack we've established is very common. And I bring suspicion into it? Shame on me. So, if your offer still stands, yes, I would love to enjoy some canned peanut brittle, a snack so common it might as well be water for how much you find it laying around on God's green earth. No, no, no. I will open up the can. You have done enough. Oh, it's a twist off. Very convenient. Oh, my God! Oh! Oh! Oh, let me catch my breath for a second. Oh, oh, my heart is beating like a jackrabbit. Did you see what just happened? Oh. Oh. You were nice enough to offer me some canned peanut brittle. Now, I don't know where you got this particular can. One of 1,000 stores in the area, I'm sure. As I was getting ready to enjoy my umpteenth helping a day of the sugary treat, instead of being greeted by the familiar scent of canned peanut brittle, what should happen? But two venomous cobras jumped out of the can. One of them tried to hook my eyeball with a fang as he gained his freedom. I'm sorry, what did you just say? Still a little. My ears. Blood in my ears. From the horror. Metal springs encased in vinyl. Sir, you have fooled me twice. Not long ago, I was in a novelty store.
Exercise number 2. For the waistline. Position: stand with hands on hips, feet well apart. On 1, bend to the left without swaying the hips to the right. On 2, up straight. On 3, bend to the right. On 4, up straight. Now next, on 1, we'll bend forward. On 2, return. On 3, we'll bend backward. On 4, return. And then we'll go side to side again and alternate. Now this one really moves. Are you ready?
You know, on the show that wasn't funny.
True, true.
But on a record it doesn't even make sense.
And now, Pigs in Space! Featuring the redundant Captain Link Hogthrob, the arbitrary first mate Miss Piggy, and the ubiquitous Dr. Julius Strangeport. Last week, the spaceship Swinefleck was rapidly approaching the electrifying mid-course correction.
Oh, isn't this electrifying?
Dr. Strangeport, ready to count me down?
Oh, Link, would it be all right if I performed the mid-course correction?
Well,
after all, I did go to school for this particular maneuver for 11 years.
Still, you are a woman.
Yes, Captain. Just as you are a man.
Technically, you're both pigs, but
that, we know what you're talking about.
Oh, Captain, may I please perform the maneuver?
Whoa.
Oh, thank you, mon capitaine.
25 seconds to mid-course correction.
Now, First Mate Piggy, don't forget which button to push.
I know which button to push. I studied it for 11 years.
15 seconds.
It's this button right here.
I know it's that button.
10 seconds.
Just push it when he tells you.
I know.
5 seconds.
Don't panic, First Mate Piggy.
Will you shut up?
Don't tell me to shut up. I'm your captain.
Now, push the button. Push the button.
Push the button.
I'm trying to. Just don't shout at me. I'm a lady.
If you don't push that button, I'll push it myself.
No.
There.
You pushed the wrong button, bacon brain. I spent 11 years learning which button to push, and you pushed one of those other buttons.
Captain, you know what that means.
Not.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
You don't mean...
Yes, undoubtedly.
Does this mean...
Yes, it does.
Tune in last week and miss next week's episode of... in space.
Well, it seems like the whole country has caught top 10 list mania, so I thought I'd make my own top 10 list. Top 10 reasons you'll wake up with an orange penis. Number 10, you had a bag of Cheetos before bedtime. Number 9, the neighbor's wife had orange sherbet before she came. Yeah, you see, I won't explain it. Number 8, your new pillowcase is orange and you forgot to wash it before you for the first time. Number 7, the dog to the Packers. Number 6, the color knob on the work right, so you took into your own hand. Number 5, the is having a 2-for-1 cyber sex. Number 4, Melrose Place. In the swimming pool. And the number one reason you'll wake up with an orange penis. Carrot juice. Neil Hamburger!
Food or music, huh? What do you think, lady? Music. We're going to do some music jokes. By request. Before we get to those, we're going to do the jokes I plan to do before the music jokes. I just bought my parents a house. Yeah. Yeah. That's what all entertainers do. Once they become rich, they buy their parents a house. Well, I am not rich. So I bought my parents a house that's worse than the one they already lived in. They called me up all confused. Todd, yes? Why do we have to move? Because I bought you a house. Todd, with all due respect, you bought us a shitty house. It is not shitty. I'll tell you what is shitty. Making those $10 a month mortgage payments. Now go inside and say hello to your new crackhead roommates. I bought my parents a crack house. I just over-explained that one. But I was watching this A&E investigative reports. They had an episode about sperm bank babies who were trying to find their biological fathers. And now the sperm banks are actually hooking these people up with an audio cassette message from the father. I wonder what the typical message is. Hi, Tommy, this is your dad. Stop looking for me. I never wanted a family. I wanted $50. I'd love to keep on a chit-chatting, but I still have about another 1,000 cassettes to make. I like that Real World show. I can't believe they still find people to go on that show. I was talking to a guy once. He said he'd go on that show because he could put it on his resume. Can you imagine putting the Real World on your resume? That would backfire right in your face. 10 years down the line, you're at a job interview, and guys are like, oh, you're on the Real World. Yeah, I used to watch that show. Hey, wait a second. You look a little familiar. You're the guy who ate all of Becky's pretzels. What the fuck was your problem, huh? You're not really a team player, are you? I am sorry, but we need team players here at Walmart. My assistant, Puck, will show you to the door. MTV has that new show, Diary. It's great. The day in the life of a musician. They had Snoop Dogg on. He gets on at the beginning of the show. He's like, hey, this is Snoop Dogg. This is a day in my life. You think you know, but you have no idea. It's like, all right, Snoop's going to have some surprises. The next shot is him on his tour bus playing video games, smoking pot. Whoa, Snoop, you're a man of your word. I expected to find you sitting there with a tattered copy of Romeo and Juliet. NPR in the background. Look at you, you're smoking pot. I thought I knew you, but I in fact had no idea. Snoop. I like that Behind the Music show, man. Very informative show. I was watching it the other day. I was like, oh my God. I didn't know Billy Idol liked living life to the fullest. I watched the Bon Jovi episode of Behind the Music. They kept using this phrase, and then he went back to his roots. And the next year he went back to his roots. I watched the whole show. I didn't see one portion where he strayed from his roots. It's not like they said in 1987, John Bon Jovi entered a New Jersey recording studio with just 4 sets of bagpipes and a woodblock.
How's everybody doing tonight? I gotta tell you, I don't know, you know. All this stuff that's going on in the world today, it's like, hello! I mean, come on, it's like, hey, wait a minute, excuse me, I didn't sign off on that! I mean, seriously! I mean, come on, if that's the way it's gonna be, no thank you! I mean, really, seriously, it's like, you gotta be kidding me! Give me a break! I mean, it's really nuts. You got guys over here going, hey, check it out, you know. And you got guys over here going, hey, what do you think, you know. And here I am going, whoa, 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 whoa. Knock it off. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. At this point, it's like, okay, enough. Thank you very much, but no thank you, okay. I mean, Siri, where is it written? Where is it written that that's how it's gonna be, you know? Where is it written? Because I didn't get that memo. I didn't get a look at that one. Jesus Christ. Married people here tonight? Married people, yeah. All right. Well, this is nuts. True story. A couple of weeks ago, you know, I'm just hanging out, just doing my thing, you know.
Next thing I know, it's like, hey, I got an idea.
What am I supposed to do in that situation? It's like, I don't got enough problems, and now this? You gotta be kidding me. It's like, at this point, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. I mean, seriously, do I have a sign on my back? You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Did you see this? This jerk going, hey, here's the deal. You know, okay, I got an idea. I got an idea. Knock it off. How about that? Why don't you try knock it off? What else is going on? I don't know about you guys, but I don't like to go to those types of places, you know, if I can help it. If I can help it, you know. A couple of weeks ago, I'm hanging out. Guy says to me, come on, you know. And I'm like, oh, for crying out, fine, okay. So I'm there, you know, just doing my thing, you know. No big deal. Next thing I know, it's like, hey, sir, sorry, but you know how it is. You fucking, what is it, 1991? I mean, come on! It's 2006 and this kind of crap is going on? Give me a break! Come on! For crying out loud, it's crazy! Jesus Christ!
Now, let's really twist our tongues. Fox socks, box knocks. Knocks in box, fox in socks. Knocks on fox in socks in box. Socks on knocks and knocks in box. Fox in socks on box on knocks. Chicks with bricks come, chicks with blocks come. Chicks with bricks and blocks and clocks come.
Look, sir, Mr. Knox, sir. Let's do tricks with bricks and blocks, sir. Let's do tricks with chicks and clocks, sir. First I'll make a quick trick brick stack, then I'll make a quick trick block stack. You can make a quick trick chick stack. You can make a quick trick clock stack. And here's a new trick, Mr. Knox. Socks on chicks and chicks on fox. Fox on clocks. On bricks and blocks, bricks and blocks on knocks on box. Now we come to ticks and tocks, sir. Try to say this, Mr. Knox, sir. Clocks on fox tick, clocks on knocks tock. Sick, sick bricks tick, sick, sick chicks tock.
Please, sir, I don't like this trick, sir. My tongue isn't quick or slick, sir. I get all those ticks and clocks, sir, mixed up with the chicks and tocks, sir. I can't do it, Mr. Fox, sir.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Knox, sir. Here's an easy game to play. Here's an easy thing to say. New socks, two socks. Whose socks? Sue's socks. Who sews whose socks? Who's so Sue's socks? Who sees who so who's new socks, sir? You see Sue so Sue's new socks, sir.
That's not easy, Mr. Fox, sir.
Who comes? Crow comes. Slow Joe Crow comes. Who sews Crow's clothes? Sue sews Crow's clothes. Slow Joe Crow sews whose clothes? Sue's clothes. Sue sews socks, a fox in socks now. Slow Joe Crow sews Knox in box now. Sue sews Rose on Slow Joe Crow's clothes. Fox sews hose on Slow Joe Crow's nose. Hose goes. Rose grows. Nose hose goes some. Crow's rose grows some.
Mr. Fox, I hate this game, sir. This game makes my tongue quite lame, sir.
Mr. Knox, sir, what a shame. James, sir, we'll find something new to do now. Here is lots of new blue goo now. New goo, blue goo, gooey, gooey, blue goo. New goo, gluey, gluey, gooey goo for chewy chewing. That's what that goo goose is doing. Do you choose to chew goo too, sir? If, sir, you, sir, choose to chew, sir, with the goo goose, chew, sir, do, sir.
Mr. Fox, sir, I won't do it. I can't say it. I won't chew it.
Very well, sir. Step this way. We'll find another game to play. Bim comes. Ben comes. Bim brings Ben broom. Ben brings Bim broom. Ben bends Bim's broom. Bim bends Ben's broom. Bim's bends. Ben's bends. Ben's bent broom breaks. Bim's bent broom breaks. Ben's bend. Bim's bend. Big bends. Pig bends. Bim and Ben lead bands with brooms. Ben's band bangs and Bim's band booms.
Pig bend, boom bend, big bend, broom bend. My poor mouth can't say that. No, sir. My poor mouth is much too slow, sir.
Well, then bring your mouth this way. I'll find it something it can say. Luke Luck likes lakes. Luke's duck likes lakes. Luke Luck licks lakes. Luke's duck licks lakes. Duck takes licks and lakes. Luke Luck likes. Luke Luck licks takes and lakes. Duck likes. likes.
I can't blab such blibber blubber. My tongue isn't made of rubber.
Mr. Knox, now come now, come now. You don't have to be so dumb now. Try to say this, Mr. Knox, please. Through three cheese trees, three free fleas flew. While these fleas flew, freezy breeze blew. Freezy breeze made these three trees freeze. Freezy trees made these trees cheese freeze. That's what made these three free fleas sneeze.
Stop it, stop it. That's enough, sir. I can't say such silly stuff, sir.
Very well then, Mr. Knox, sir. Let's have a little talk about Tweedle Beetles. What do you know about Tweedle Beetles? Well, when Tweedle Beetles fight, it's called a Tweedle Beetle battle. And when they battle in a puddle, it's a Tweedle Beetle puddle battle. And when Tweedle Beetles battle with paddles in a puddle, they call it a Tweedle Beetle puddle paddle battle. And when beetles battle beetles in a puddle paddle battle, and the beetle battle puddle is a puddle in a bottle, they call this a Tweedle Beetle bottle puddle paddle battle muddle. And they'll fight these battles in a bottle with their paddles and the bottles on a poodle, and the poodle's eating noodles. They call this a muddle puddle Tweedle Poodle Beetle Noodle bottle paddle battle.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Sox Fox.
Hey, don't put me in that bottle.
But I did. And when a fox is in the bottle with the Tweedle Beetles battle with their paddles in a puddle on a noodle eating poodle, this is what they call a Tweedle Beetle Noodle Poodle bottle paddle muddle duddle fuddle wuddle fox in socks, sir. Fox in socks, our game is done, sir. Thank you for a lot of fun, sir.
OYO Festival is a Vancouver-based cultural expose focused on bringing together over 100 musicians, comedians, and artists from across North America. The four-day OYO Festival goes from August 13th to 16th, 2009, and will feature over 20 events, including concerts, comedy shows, and art openings. Go to www.oyofestival.com, that's OLIOfestival.com, for more details and check out the amazingly diverse lineup. All access OYO Festival passes are available online at www.oyofestival.com or Zulu, Scratch, Beat Street, and Red Cat Records.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This is the second annual CITR Show Swap. And Luke Mead here filling in for Cliff Nesteroff, normal host of Laugh Tracks and the Generation Exploitation Podcast. Let's go through what we heard there. Starting off with Paul F. Tompkins, like I said at the top of the hour, regular appearer on Mr. Show. Of course, the classic HBO show in the late 90s starring David Cross and Bob Odenkirk, both who've gone on to torrential amounts of fame. Impersonal was the name of his album there. We heard an amazing rant on the idea of canned peanut brittle. We had the Muppets in there off of the Muppet Show album Volume 2 with a Pigs in Space skit. Neil Hamburger. After that, America's Funny Man, his debut album on Drag City Records, which I just found on vinyl in Seattle this week. That goes all the way back to 1996. And a track there called The Top 10, censored version. The King of Deadpan after that, Todd Barry. Fantastic stuff. Expecting a new one out by him by the end of the year. I did just finish up last year going on tour with all of the Sub Pop comedians. Eugene Meerman, Patton Oswalt, and David Cross. This album of his was called Medium Energy, put out by Comedy Central Recordings. And we heard a few tracks off of that. We heard Fooder Music, By Parents House, Sperm Bank Baby, Real World, MTV Diary, and Behind the Music. And then after that, a newcomer to me, has been around for a while though, part of the Comedy Death Ray Tour, Andy Daly, with a four-minute rant about absolutely nothing, and it just makes me laugh. There you go. And then we finished off with Dr. Zeus, of course. Probably the first comic album I ever owned at the age of 5 years old. That album used to just make me howl. It still does, in fact, actually. We're going to move into some Comedians of Comedy territory. Beanies of Comedy was a great tour that went on for a couple of years. It was started by the genius Patton Oswalt, where he gathered together a bunch of his friends and whatnot and kind of toured around the States and everything. And I'll give you just what some of the comedians did on the tour, but what they did at the end of every night is they got on stage and would just kind of riff off of each other. And there's some absolute hilarity that ensues from that. But we're going to start off with Patton Oswalt's best friend and partner in crime, and one of my favorite comedians. I got to warn you, the language might get a little bit blue, but I've managed to edit out anything that's really offensive. So I hope, you know, put some earphones on the kids and enjoy some Brian Posehn.
So strange. And I got two dogs. We have two puppies, and it's our first puppy. And we had the first one, Ernie, we got him last year, and he's a basset hound. And he's awesome. Because you know how your dog's supposed to look like you? Mine does. You know? And he looks mad and stoned all the time. He hates all new metal. He's super cynical. Yeah. So because he's a basset hound, half the time he looks sad. But because he's a puppy, like a switch will go off and he'll just become a spaz. He'll fucking lose it and run around the house. So this is a totally true story. And I got to say it again. It's a true story because no one believes me. But the lady is using the bathroom one day and we have our toilet is low to the ground. I don't know why. It just came with the house and we never fixed it. And so she's in there reading Lucky Magazine and dropping a deuce. Because we're not the only ones who shit and read. She's cranking one out and looking at shoes. And she doesn't know it's puppy time. And Ernie comes sprinting in from the other room and licks her downstairs. I know. Not the back door, but the front gate, the main entrance. And like you, we were horrified. And then I got mad. You know, I'm looking at the dog going, "What's up, bro? I thought we were friends. Look, man, we got a couple of rules in this house. That's number one. Don't lick the lady's vajay. I don't even get two. And you can't teach him a lesson by rubbing his face in it." Puppies are great pets. They're awesome, but they're horrible roommates. You know, because even the worst roommate you had in college, you know, might eat your pizza, but he won't eat your shoes and shit in your hat. Having a puppy is like living with a crazy homeless person. So you never know what you're going to get when you get home. He's just fucking laying there going, "Ah, I ate all the toilet paper, so I had to wipe my ass with the couch. Oh, look at that, I got a heart on. For no reason at all. You know what, I'm gonna go fuck me your pillow."
Without any further ado, friends, I bring to the stage a man who is both an officer and a gentleman. Please give a New York City welcome to Eugene Merman!
Thank you all so very, very much. All right, get ready. I'm about to start killing. You know how sometimes when you're drunk, you say something you sort of regret to Ace Frehley? That happened yesterday. His daughter had a birthday party upstairs, and he was very drunk, and they were leaving, and she would had her arm around him and sort of carrying him to his limo, and I don't know if he heard, I thought he didn't, but there was like this odd expression. I of course said, "Don't fuck your daughter," and you could see, I think he heard me, though. I think he was very drunk, and he didn't know which, if it was real or not. And you could see this thing where he was like, where it was like him and like the third person, like, "Ace, did that guy just tell me to not fuck my, if I had my makeup and powers still, I would get him." I had spent the month of August in Edinburgh. There's a giant arts festival with like thousands of shows, and I lived on the Royal Mile, which is a beautiful, magical cobbled street that leads to a castle. And in the alleyways are like these stone little alleyways, and there's homeless people in them, but they look like wizards. And they're like, "Spare a pound to go back in time?" I'm like, "Only if you promise to stop Hitler." "Then sure." I was in the bathroom one night in my venue, which was this giant wet stone building, and I was washing my hands. It was kind of late, and there's this guy who was really drunk, and I was washing my hands, and he goes, "Fucking Americans washing their hands." And another guy goes, "And bombing Iraq." I was like, "That's what we say. Clean hands, clean war." There were all these like Irish and Scottish and English people, which is very reasonable because it was the UK. And the, like when their accents were sort of similar, like, you know, unless they had very extreme accents, it was hard to tell them apart. And I was talking to one person who was Irish, and I was like, "Honestly, you guys all sound like different kinds of pirates to me." I was like, "Arg, I forgot my wallet." Exactly, pirate.
So, you guys, do you guys like music?
Yes!
Music! That'd be weird to hear somebody go, "I hate music! Why must they dance?" Oh, I love music. I do love it. I love it so much that if I hear something once, it becomes a hit for me. I find myself humming songs I'm completely morally opposed to. Oh my God, what have I just sung to myself? Now, I mean, for all I know, that song could be sing, you know, like, "Forests are dirty and wrong, poor children just should get jobs, Christians make more sense than Muslims, and the rich are super nice." But it's catchy, and that's why I like it. I like, my favorite singer right now is, of course, Alicia Keys, and, yeah, she's great. She's a silly goose, and, here's why. She sings this song. She does, like, this Barry White talk down in the middle of it, and she's, like, you know, kind of getting all sexy, and she's like,
"Hello? Is this Michael? Oh, shit, I don't normally do this, but..."
Okay, it's clear she's done it before. She seems quite confident, well-spoken.
So you always come in the restaurant or the special with a hot chocolate. My manager always be tripping for me to use water, but I always use milk and cream for you.
Okay, we get it.
Milk, cream, hot chocolate. So you always come in your suit with your cufflinks so shiny and bright. So what do you do? Oh, well, that sounds interesting.
Okay, she did not even listen to what that guy does, unless he's like a chef or a pope or something. She doesn't care about what he does.
Hold up, my cell phone be breaking up. Oh, can you hear me now?
And Alicia Keys is a goose and she's silly, which makes her a silly goose. Now, I had a comedian telling me, she said, "Hey, Marie, you need to kind of strengthen that joke. You know, what's the point of that joke?" Alicia Keys, silly goose! That's how I'm ending it. Maybe we should get to know each other a little bit more deeply. Does anyone here have a poor credit history? It's okay. It's a safe space. I don't know when I'm gonna pay them back, but it's gonna be soon.
Super soon, I'm totally gonna pay it back. Super soon.
I really think before giving me a credit card, they really should have given me a math test. Like a series of story problems. Question number one, if Maria works as a comedian for $100 a week, but spends $20 a day on hair scrunchies, how many years will it take for her to pay off a Taco Bell gordita she bought in 1992? Question number two. If Maria's boyfriend is in a folk band, but he only smokes pot every other day, what percentage of the rent will he be able to contribute? Yeah. I thought 50%, but the answer is zero. Yeah. good to know. That's going to be on the test. It really is. Question number three. If Maria moved to Hollywood at the age of 22, nor become a TV superstar, the age of 35 has only succeeded in getting her cable television turned off. What fraction of her dream will have died? Well, that's a trick question, because you have to factor in my unsinkable sense of confidence, which compounds interest daily.
We already did that one.
We honestly did Cleveland last Thursday, and it was fun. And then we did Pittsburgh, and we thought, oh, my God, Pittsburgh was fucking amazing, all right?
It was.
And then it was really great. And then we traveled for a little bit, and Detroit and Lansing were okay. And then we got to Louisville, Kentucky, and that was like, we're like, holy shit, that was unbelievable. And then we went
they
to...
They never have seen anything good in their life. Like,
that is true, yeah.
Like, nothing good has ever been there.
But this was, like, fucking ridiculous. So, like, this buried everybody. So, but back in Pittsburgh, I made the mistake. We were driving along. This is the last in-joke. And this was my torture for about 4 days. We drove by an eating establishment called the Pennsylvania Macaroni Company. Uh-huh. All right? Which, okay, sounds okay. Pennsylvania Macaroni Company. All right, they make spaghetti and noodles. Fine. I made the mistake of singing the name of their company the way that Leon Redbone would. You know what I'm talking about, Leon Redbone? So I'm in the front seat. And I look at the sign, and I go, it's a Pennsylvania Macaroni Company, founded in 1902. And then, Henry, come up here. So then, this is Henry, our tour manager. He was driving the van. Come on, Henry. Henry will make you cool. And then I had to endure about 2 days of these douche nozzles firing questions at me about that company, and I was expected to not only answer as Leon Redbone, but make a fucking song about it.
Yeah.
It was a goddamn nightmare.
Hey,
Here we go.
What time's that place open?
Where the Pennsylvania Macaroni Company opens at 10 a.m. unless you drive by on a Sunday, and then they got brunch at noon.
Are they serving any specials today, Patton?
Well, the specials today is a rigatoni, and we drizzle olive oil on it. And if you want a little mushroom and some sliced chicken, we can do that for you, too.
Hey, do they have any jobs available?
If you want to give us an application, that's fine. We'll file it back in the office. But I should probably warn you before you put pen to paper, the owner's son is smoking crack.
Did they get all those health code violations taken care of?
I wish you hadn't asked me that question right now, because we found a dead rat in this Pomone.
I know it was founded in 1902, but can you tell us something about the founders? Just, you know, a little story about who founded the place. Just wondering.
In the fall of 1899, Anthony Giacchetti stabbed a local lawyer in the eye. So the local constables of the island of Sicily made him board a boat. He thought the boat would take him to Ellis Island, but it landed on the shores of PA. So he made his way west, across the mountains and the woods, and he decided to start making noodles. And the local lumberjacks raped him for 2 years, and he got a building because he sold his cock.
Wow.
Hey.
Good job,
notice,
monkey.
By the way, notice how all these guys set up really easy jokes, and then Brian makes me write a fucking Cormac McCarthy novel? Goddamn asshole.
Patton.
I'm sorry, Eugene. What's that?
I was just curious, what are the pastas that they have, but in alphabetical order?
I'm just curious. It starts with arrabbiata and then goes to gnocchi and spaghetti. Although if I could go back and refile this list, I'd start with angel hair and go to Buscatelli.
Hey, nope. do they give a senior citizens discount there?
No. If you're over 65, you can come in on Tuesdays and we'll give you a free side of pasta. But the marinara sauce is extra, and also if you want a meatball, it'll cost a buck.
It's my turn, right? I heard George McGovern ate there once. Is there a story about that, baby? Because that seems like something they would remember, him coming through their establishment.
And I think he had a bad marriage.
We really thought that he would bear in Nixon, but he came in and got drowsy on pasta. And then when Super Tuesday came around in 72, he vomited right on his waistcoat. I feel like you were responsible for creating the malaise that led to the Carter administration. I wish that Brian Posehn would die of AIDS and cancer and leukemia all at once.
Wow. That song got really mean-spirited at the end. Let's go drink, drunkie. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Honestly, so you just spent a week in a van with all of us, by the way. So thanks for traveling with us. Holy shit. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big round of applause for Henry Owings, who drove the van and helped me do this tour. Eugene Merman making his debut. Holy shit.
Hey.
The Maria. Delightful Maria Bamford giving me hope. Giving me hope for innovation and originality. And this fucking retard. God damn it.
And keep it going for Dildo Faggins.
Fuck. Your applause stings. We have a merch table, t-shirts, CDs, exclusive tour stuff. We'll all be there saying hi, signing stuff. Come on back. Bring me more scotch and watch me pass out. I fucking love you people. Thank you. Good night. I fucking love you. You have no idea. God damn.
My name is Natasha. I am a robot now. I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
Well, Lord knows I like it, Natasha. Yes, Hans Klaus's Misery Hour on every Wednesdays from 11 till question mark on the almighty CITR. We're just about wrapping up the show here. Hope you enjoyed that little taste of comedians of comedy. And if there was any underageites there, your mind has been demented for sure. But we're going to wrap up the show with two of my all-time favorite comedians. And I know Cliff's all-time favorite comedians. I had to dig this off of YouTube because this comedian I'm about to play, there is nothing I could play by him that would be acceptable by any CITR, CRTC standards at all. Like, he is just, he's amazingly offensive in a brilliant, genius way. But I had to pull this off of YouTube. This is an interview with Louis C.K. on Conan O'Brien. Now, if you want to hear him unedited, come down. I think it's October 17th. He's coming to the Vogue Theater, and I've already got my tickets, and I highly recommend that you check him out live. He's outstanding. But then we're going to finish it off with the master of the genre, which I think pretty much everybody has tried to imitate in the last 30 years or whatever. We're going to finish off with George Carlin. But right now, this is Louis C.K. on the Conan O'Brien Show with a skit called Everything is Amazing and Nobody's Happy.
Back then, yeah.
Those were simpler times, I think. I just feel like we may be going back to that, by the way. But in a way, good, because when I read things like the foundations of capitalism are shattering, I'm like, maybe we need that. Maybe we need some time where we're walking around with a donkey with pots clanging on the sides.
You think that would just bring us back to reality?
Yeah, because everything is amazing right now, and nobody's happy. Like, in my lifetime, the changes in the world have been incredible. When I was a kid, we had a rotary phone. We had a phone that you had to stand next to, and you had to dial it.
Yes.
You don't realize how primitive, you're making sparks in a phone, and you actually would hate people with zeros in their numbers, because it was more, it's right. Like, oh, this guy's got two zeros, screw that guy, why do I want to, And then if they called and you weren't home, the phone would just ring lonely by itself. And then if you wanted money, you had to go in the bank. For when it was open for like 3 hours, you had to stay in line, write yourself a check like an idiot. And then when you ran out of money, you just go, well, I can't do any more things now.
Right.
I can't do any more
things. That's it, yeah.
That was it. And even if you had a credit card, the guy would go, ugh, and he'd bring out this whole chunk, and he'd write, he'd have to call the president to see if you had any money. And
it's all true, kids. You had to call the president, yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yes.
Do you feel that we now, in the 21st century, we take technology for granted?
Well, yeah, because now we live in an amazing, amazing world, and it's wasted on the crappiest generation of just spoiled idiots that don't care, because this is what people are like now. They got their phone, and they're like, it won't. Give it a second. It's going to space. Can you give it a second to get back from space? Is the speed of light too slow for you? I was on an airplane, and there was internet, high-speed internet on the airplane. That's the newest thing that I know exists. And I'm sitting on the plane, and they go, open up your laptop. You can go on the internet. And it's fast, and I'm watching YouTube clips. I'm in an airplane. And then it breaks down, and they apologize. The internet's not working. The guy next to me goes, this is bull. Like, how quickly the world owes him something.
Yes.
He knew existed only 10 seconds ago.
Right. Right.
And on planes, flying is the worst one, because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. And then we get on the plane, and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. We had to sit there. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? That you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing! Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow!
Yeah!
You're flying. You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now, Louis.
But it doesn't go back a lot. And it's not really. You know, here's the thing. People, like, they say there's delays on flights.
Yeah.
Delays, really? New York to California in 5 hours. That used to take 30 years to do that. And a bunch of you would die on the way there and have a baby. You'd be a whole different group of people by the time you got there. Now you watch a movie and you take a dump in your home.
Yeah. Nicer way to say it than that.
I used to be Irish Catholic. Now I'm an American. You know, you grow. Yeah. I was from one of those Irish neighborhoods in New York. One of those kind of parish schools. Wasn't typical. It was Corpus Christi was the name of it. Could have been any Catholic church, right? Our Lady of Great Agony. St. Rita Moreno. Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. What's the difference? What's it called? Anyway. The church part and the neighborhood part were typical, but the school was not. It wasn't one of those old-fashioned parish kind of prison schools with a lot of corporal punishment and Sister Mary discipline with the steel ruler, right?
Oh, my hand! Oh.
And you'd fall 2 years behind in penmanship, right?
Well, he's behind in penmanship, Mrs. Carlin. I don't know why.
Well, he's crippled. He's trying to learn to write with his left hand. We didn't have that. I got lucky, you know, got into a school where the pastor was kind of into John Dewey and progressive education, and he talked the diocese, into experimenting in our parish with progressive education and whipping the religion on us anyway and see what would happen with the two of them there. And worked out kind of nice. There was a lot of classroom freedom. There was no, for instance, there were no grades or marks, you know, no report cards to sweat out or any of that. There were no uniforms. There was no sexual segregation, boys and girls together. And the desks weren't all nailed down in a row, you know. They were movable desks and you had new friends every month. It was nice. Like I say, a lot of classroom freedom. In fact, there was so much freedom that by eighth grade, many of us had lost the faith. Because they made questioners out of us, and they really didn't have any answers, you know. They'd fall back on, well, it's a mystery.
Oh, thank you, Father. Mystery? I don't know. What's he talking about? Mystery.
Once a week, Father Russell would come in for heavy mystery time. And you'd save all your weird questions for Father Russell. In fact, you'd make up strange questions. You should take a whole week thinking up trick questions to Father Russell.
Hey, Father! Hey, if God is all-powerful, can he make a rock so big that he himself can't lift it? We got him now!
Or else you'd take a very simple sin and surround it with the most bizarre circumstances you could imagine to try to, you know, relieve the guilt in the sin. It would usually end up with the statement,
would that then be a sin then, Father?
It was like here, this is an example. There was one sin, not receiving communion during Easter time. You had to perform your Easter duty. You had to receive once between Ash Wednesday and Pentecost Sunday. And if you didn't do it, it was a mortal sin. Providing, of course, you had said to yourself, hey, I'm not going to do it this year. And there weren't many mortal sins on that, but a lot of guys went to Venial City on Easter duty. And so you would ask the priest, you know, you'd put,
hey, Father, hey,
remember guys would leave their hand up after they got called on, right? And the priest would say, what are you, the Statue of Liberty done?
Oh, sorry, Father. Anyways, Father, hey, suppose that you didn't make your Easter duty, and it's Pentecost Sunday, the last day, and you're on a ship at sea, and the chaplain goes into a coma. But you wanted to receive. And then it's Monday, too late. But then you cross the international dateline.
Yes, I'm sure God will take that into account. Sit down, Lizzie.
George Carlin with I Wish I Used to Be Irish Catholic, off, of course, the legendary Class Clown record, God Rest Your Soul, George. And then before that, someone who's picking up where he left off, if you ask me, probably the funniest living comedian right now, Louis C.K., live on the Conan O'Brien Show with a piece called Everything's Amazing, Nobody's Happy. And that just about does it for this edition of Luke Meat, filling in for Cliff Nesteroff on the second annual CITR Show Swap. Thanks for Cliff for letting me do it, and stay tuned all week for CITR to hear kind of weirder takes on shows that you may be familiar with. Until next week, yes, Cliff will be back as usual, and stay tuned, stay funny. See you later.
Hello, Micro. We're at 8,000 feet, perishing cold, and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Ah, get it. Pause. Let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Artie Shaw, and his orchestra making dance history in the ballroom of the Hotel Lincoln in New York City.
Every Thursday from 10 till noon, join me, your host, Charles Burnham, for Sweet and Hot, a celebration of the 78 RPM record, a three-minute masterpiece in the golden age of North American songwriting. Hot jazz, swing, and popular music from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's every Thursday from 10 till noon here on CITR 101.9 FM.